MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. Work is changing, we are changing, and there's no guidebook for how to make sense of it. Start your week with the Hello Monday podcast. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered. Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to episode 426 of the VEASAN Market Insights Podcast. I am your host, Josh Applebaum. Happy Monday, everyone. We have a ton to get to today, guys. It is another jam-packed day as we enter the arena. Hope everyone had a fantastic weekend, a new week ahead, going into our second week here of October. And I tell you what, guys, today is Marathon Monday in Boston. I know, all things come back to Boston when you listen to the Market Insights pod or Betting Across America. But today, I want to give a shout out to everyone running the marathon. I have a buddy, my buddy Mike Fedotowski, that he's been training all year. It's funny, he was supposed to do it last year. COVID canceled it. He actually recreated the race back in our hometown of Lanesboro and Williamstown of Western Massachusetts, where we're from in the Berkshires. But now he gets to run it for real. So I got to, after we're doing all of our betting today, guys, we got, of course, the pod, Betting Across America, Lombardi Line. We got an after party we got to go to watch the Red Sox and cheer on my buddy. So everyone running the marathon, it's just a crazy day in Boston. I used to work, before I got my break in the industry, I'll tell you a little story. I moved out to Boston right after I graduated from the University of Vermont in 2009. I worked in a bunch of restaurants. I had created a blog. It was before I got my break in the industry. But I used to work at Jerry Remy's, which is a sports betting bar and grill. It's no longer there. I think it's called Tony C's now. But I used to love it. I busted my butt, but made some good money as a young 21, 22-year-old. And we used to do Marathon Mondays, which would be just absolutely absurd. You get the 11 o'clock Red Sox game. I don't know if MLB is going to let them wear their yellow uniforms today, but if you're in Boston and you know what I'm talking about, Maureen Chase, it is a great day, a special day, a lot of buzz for Marathon Monday. So it is here. It's usually earlier in the year, but recreating it here. So give a shout out to everybody running, and I hope everybody cashes their sharp plays and beats their personal records here. So great Marathon Monday, guys. But a ton to get to. We're going to recap everything in the NFL yesterday, guys. Yesterday was the first day where we saw, or the first NFL Sunday, where we saw dogs dip and favorites go 8-6 ATS. Although a couple favorites you might have been on did have some good hits there with Philly, with Buffalo. A couple others across the board. One that annoyed me was the push on Cincinnati +3. A couple teams that did not come through for us, the football team, the G-men, the Jets, even though we got that over late. They could not keep it close there. So what we're going to do is run through the board, look at yesterday. What can we take from it? What can we learn? What can we move forward with? I think it's always important on a Monday, especially right before the calm before the storm, guys, because we have our new NBA betting guide that came out today. It is fantastic. JVT did a great job putting everything together. And we do have Andy McNeil's NHL betting guide. Both of these are available with a VSiN membership, VSiN.com/subscribe. But these are the last few days where it's kind of, you know, a smaller board. Obviously, we have a huge baseball slate here, and I want to talk about some postseason trends that we've seen so far, in particular favorites and home teams. So we'll hit on that. I did see, unfortunately, I had my four-pack ready, my four loco pack. Houston and the White Sox just got rained out. Sadly, I was looking at the White Sox there. Pretty sharp move, like minus 120 to minus 130. We'll go over some trends. We'll talk about the Monday Night Football game tonight. We got a big game with the Colts and the Ravens. I have an interesting stat here on Lamar Jackson. I got a big system match play. And then we also have a prop bet I want to share. And then, of course, we'll talk about all the MLB action for today and also look ahead a little bit toward NFL Week 6 because there are already some numbers on the move. And one game that I bet immediately because I think this thing is going to trend in our direction. I want to get out ahead of it. Look over the weekend to a little bit of biting, 3-2. So, hey, we're grinding. Had some wins there with the Brown over. Who else do we have here? Jackson cashed. I'm trying to look at these other ones. Who do we have? Nicolau. I think there was one more that I'm looking at. I forgot which one it was. I know Mazza didn't come through and Dern didn't, but 3-2 there with biting. So we're doing our thing, guys. I hope everyone had a great weekend overall. I'm looking at college football as well. 7-8, the plays we talked about. The big one I liked was Oklahoma. I was out with the fiance at Jordan's Furniture. We're trying to get a new coffee table. And I'm like, don't check your score. Don't check your score. They were down 20 at halftime. I'm like, oop, throw that one in the trash. But Oklahoma comes roaring back. I don't know if you had Arkansas, Syracuse, Virginia, Washington State, Utah, and Nebraska was the big one. That pushed the three, but if you got the hook, you cashed the 3.5 there. So another day, another dollar, guys. We're back at it, a big Monday, and I'm excited to start a new week off right because last week, I would put it in maybe the worst week of betting so far this year where really just our model, our match, couldn't get any breaks here. So new week gets started. I'm excited to enter the arena and get it rolling here, guys. Let's get after it. So with that being said, if you haven't done it yet, little housekeeping as always, sign up for the VSiN newsletter, VSiN.com/newsletter. Just put in your email. You'll wake up every morning to sports betting information, rundown of all the shows that day. I'll be co-hosting Betting Across America once again, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern time today. And then you also get all the promos for legal sports books, my market insights column, giving you sharp reports every day, Dave Tooley's ATS reports, helpful links, Adam Burke's blurbs. Adam's been doing a great job improving and beefing up the newsletter. So that's free. Best way to stay plugged into VSiN, wake up and get your brain thinking about betting and just get a bunch of links putting you in the right direction. That's VSiN.com/newsletter. Then of course you want to get, take that next step in your sports betting journey. Sign up for a VSiN all access membership, VSiN.com/subscribe. Put in your email, and I always tell you to sign up because it's great, but you should really do it now because you'll get included that NHL betting guide and that NBA betting guide. You also get every Point Spread Weekly magazine. You also get the afternoon best bet emails, letting you know best bet picks from guests and hosts, 20% off the store, get hats, get merch, all the betting content, handle, ticket versus money discrepancies, power ratings, everything included there. VSiN.com/subscribe. We have a 10-day free trial. If you like it, you let it renew, go monthly, or save some money, get the annual. If you don't, cancel before the 10 days are up. You won't be charged, and no hard feelings, but it's definitely worth the money. It's going to give you a leg up here. And again, no locks, no guarantees, but a lot of good data in one place to get you guided in the right direction to help you feel like you're making the smartest bet that you can possibly make here, guys. So that's VSiN.com/subscribe. And then get on Twitter. Twitter's where the betting convo never ends. Twitter is where you stay plugged into a real-time market that's constantly moving. So injuries, following local beat reporters, creating a gambling community, and direct messaging other people, all is available to you through Twitter. So get on Twitter, follow at VSiN Live, the mothership. You can follow me at Josh_insights. You can always email me anytime. Questions, comments, suggestions, questions about betting, whatever it may be, I'm here to help. You can find me at, Josh@VSiN.com. So that being said, guys, let's recap yesterday in the NFL. Then we'll turn our attention to big Monday Night Football showdown here tonight. I'm looking to see if we get a half point move here in one direction, which I think will then give us a little more insight on this game. But before we do, let's take a look at yesterday's board. So just some high-level trends, guys. We've been making a lot of money off dogs throughout the first four weeks of the NFL season. We knew at some point you'd have some favorites roar back here. You know, it was just kind of due for some regression. We saw it hit yesterday. So yesterday was the first Sunday where favorites had a winning day. 8-6 against the spread for favorites. Dogs are still profitable. They dipped to 44-35 against the spread this year, 56%. Remember, they're at, you know, around 60% up until this past week. But here's one that had a good day, and I wrote I have this new thing on Lombardi Line on the weekends. I'm trying to create these boards to kind of put together our system matches, just make it real easy on Lombardi Line. Thank you, by the way, everyone tuning in this weekend. But these short road dogs plus six or less, you hear me talk about all the time. It's a grinder system for me. Went 3-2 ATS yesterday, so I like that. There, I don't love that favorites had a good day, but I did like the fact that even though dogs had a losing day, our short road dog six or less system actually had a winning day, 3-2 against the spread. So now those short dogs six or less on the road, 22-8 against the spread this year, 73%. Another one was overs. Overs were surprising. We did get our over in London, which was nice. They were. I'm glad the Jets kicked that late field goal. Wish they scored a touchdown to push and give me the over, but I'll take the over. But overs had a big day on Sunday, going 9-5. Unders are still profitable on the season, 43-36, 54%. But we've seen some of these. I would say it was kind of a good public day a little bit, and that's what we've seen all last week. Guys, here's the thing. When we talk about the podcast and games we talk about and system matches and going contrarian, if the public has a good week like they did last week, then as contrarian bettors, we're going to have a bad week. The books are going to get hurt a little bit here. But again, that's going to happen. There's going to be days where the public has a great day, a great couple days, a great week, maybe a great 2 weeks. Again, it'll end at some point, but we're playing a long game here. If the public play, if taking the obvious play and going with the 90% of bets every game worked for you, then we'd all become millionaires. Sportsbooks would go bankrupt, and you know, we'd all quit our day jobs and just be super rich by doing betting what we expect to happen. But we know that's not the case. So again, it was a rough week last week, but I think part of that was just chalk it up to the public. More often than not, they lose. Well, they had a good week, so let's tip our cap. Even though I don't love it, but I think that's going to make way for some good regression back to the book, which in the end, the house always wins. So we're playing that long game. But let's look at yesterday. Just see what we can take from it. The 14 games across the board. Again, talking about favorites having their first winning Sunday, 8-6 against the spread, and those overs 9-5 overall. So first one on the board, Jets in Atlanta. We got the over there, guys. It was 44. At one point, it got up to 46.5. Came back down to around 46. We need that late field goal there. But again, keep an eye out for these London games. I'll be playing these overs. We got, I think they're now 61, 60, almost 62% to the over. Jets were a tough one. That's a play I'll make every time. They were 3.5, 3. A lot of books down to 2.5. They closed at +3, -120. So all liability was toward the Jets. Just dug way too deep of a hole early to kind of claw back there late. So anyone on Atlanta, congrats. But that over moving forward in London, we're going to play. This may surprise you if you tune into the Lombardi Line, but I actually took Tampa Bay. It was a late play for me. You know, I love those dogs. I love those inflated dogs. But the play for me there with Tampa was non-conference. Non-conference favorites with a higher end total. And they did have kind of a sharp line move. The Bucks were -10.5. Late move up to 11. I think one book even got to 11.5. But I like that movement. Tampa Bay wasn't crazy lopsided. And my play there was Tampa Bay's offense kind of worked out well, where Miami averaging, 15 a game. They land 17. Tom Brady does it again. And what he's got, 15 touchdowns, two picks. The guy might break his own personal records this year with a 17-game season. Maybe get to that 07 year with 50 TDs. But the angle there was, not if I'm going to take a favorite, I want to move in my favor. I want a non-conference high total. Lack of familiarity benefits the better team. So I don't know if anyone took Tampa Bay there laying it, but that came through for you. The Eagles, probably the best play of yesterday's slate for me. I love that Eagles spot. I love that there was no buyback. So one thing we can take away is, even if there's so much movement and you're like, late to the party, you know, Philly open +4.5, got down to 4, 3.5, 3, even got down to 2.5. That was really meaningful. When they crossed that key number of 3 and got to 2.5, that told me that even though we had, you know, 3 out of 4 bets on Carolina, zero buyback. All big money was on Philly. Philly gets it done. Huge there with Philly winning 21-18. So whatever number you got with that Philly play, you cash. And that's an example of, if there's no buyback, yes, you don't love that you're getting the worst of it, but kind of tells me that even though the number was dropping, pros still like the points there. Football team did not come through for us. That was a buy low inflated dog for me. Heavy, heavy betting on New Orleans. They go from 1.5 to 2.5. In a way, it's kind of ironic. I don't love it, but that line move on New Orleans ended up winning. -1.5 to -2.5. They win by 11, but I like buying low on Washington in that spot. What was notable to me is that thing flew over, too. You did have, I think it was like 43.5, 44, and public was on that over, went over as well. Jags, get me off the Jags, man. I lean on them, and sometimes I bet them, but, man, that is a dumpster fire. So that's a big public play as well. Tennessee, -3.5, got up to -4.5. At one point, I think they were inching toward 5. It might have been a little buyback at some point, but they end up rolling, and you did get the over there. I think we can maybe target Jags overs moving forward. I love this one, Minnesota and Detroit. Detroit came through as a hazmat play. Perfect example of what we talked about quite a bit. Minnesota getting all the love, open -8 all the way to -10. Now the teaser, look at this one, 8.5 down to 2.5. That actually didn't win. They won by 2, so you lost that teaser if you played it. But the thing to me was buying low on Detroit as a, and here's the distinction, like Miami was getting, 10.5, 11 on the road at Tampa. Detroit was getting 10 on the road at Minnesota, but one was a non-conference dog. One was a divisional dog. Non-conference lean more to favorites with that lack of familiarity benefiting the better team. But Detroit as a divisional dog buying low the +10. I don't know if anyone got it. I love that our win total under 4.5 at plus money is looking good, but that's a tough one for Detroit. We may be able to keep betting Detroit. They're probably going to keep losing. Knock on wood, but they're kind of feisty. They're up in that game. Took a miracle field goal there for Minnesota. So again, if you're laying the -10 with Minnesota, you're getting the worst of it. Buying low on Detroit, really contrarian at a +10 after inflated line. To me, there's value there. So that came through with Detroit covering, even though Minnesota won. Denver and Pittsburgh, guys. This was a line move with Teddy Two Gloves in. It was +1 to -1.5. I ended up money lining Denver. It was kind of a split play, but a good line move. Pittsburgh got me on that one, win 27-10, and maybe at that point the inflated line with Pittsburgh could have been a little interesting, but that was kind of similar to that New Orleans-Washington play where one, short kind of favorite dog to favor, short fave to become more of a fave move came through with New Orleans, didn't with Denver, but with Pittsburgh, they're a tough team to cap just with that with Roethlisberger here, and I would mention, looking at these buy low spots too, teams being undervalued. Both teams are coming off a loss, Denver and Pittsburgh, but maybe Pittsburgh at home in that spot. Maybe looking back, I would have maybe leaned more to Pittsburgh or maybe laid off. The one that really, really annoyed me was Cincinnati. We got a +3 there. I don't know. They actually got even sharper, 2.5, even down to 2. Took them to overtime. I was really hoping they could cash that thing late or in overtime, but I pushed a 3 there. If you were late and you got a 2, 2.5, that was actually a Green Bay cover. But that was an importance of getting that triggering number and that key number. And I was really hoping Cincy would come through for us there. But you tip your cap to Green Bay on that one. Patriots in Houston. Anyone get down on Houston? And also, did anyone live line the Patriots when they were down by, I think they're down by 12 at one point? Could have live line them and got a great number there on the live line. Patriots win 25-22. Finally, my team makes some plays against all they needed to play was the lowly Houston Texans there. It was looking really grim at one point. But that was a play on Houston plus the points, guys. Open Pats -9, got down to 8, or even I saw some 7.5. So there was a lot of offensive linemen out for the Patriots. That was contrarian with a reverse line move to Houston. Classic play there. I don't know if anyone ended up taking Houston, but they covered. Bears and the Raiders. Short road dog +6 or less, baby. The Bears getting it done. There's also that racist email by Gruden. I don't know if that maybe caused some kind of internal conflict in the locker room. But that was kind of a line freeze at 5.5. It was -5.5, stayed 5.5. And that was important to me because you had almost 7 out of 10 bets on Vegas. So Chicago and Fields getting it done, for the team as a short road dog. You love seeing that one. Cleveland Chargers, teaser came through that. What was it? 2.5 to 8.5 with Cleveland or 1.5 to 7.5. They ended up losing by 5. But I was also on the +2.5 there, which was annoying to me because, they were in that thing quite a bit. But that was another, I'm looking at line movement, guys, taking away anything else, but that was Chargers -1.5 to -2.5. So I think what I'm getting at here, guys, is line moves. I love them. Sometimes it becomes difficult. Are you going to be, to me, I'll buy low on a line move if it's super contrarian. If it's with the public and it moves, it gives me more difficulty, I would say, kind of like, I would put the Chargers in that bucket with New Orleans. Big public, but 1.5 to 2.5. So there was maybe not just public, but some respective money there. And boy, did that thing fly over. The total actually fell. I think it was 48.5 down to 47. What'd they score? Almost 90 points in that one. Annoying one to me was the G-men. They were in that thing close. And obviously Dallas turned on late. They went 44-20. But looking at the total there, 49.5 up to 53.5. Things sails over. But that late movement game day told you there was more money coming in on the Dallas over. And I think this is something we can look out for. Jaguars over, Dallas Cowboys over. They score a ton of points. They're giving up like 25 a game. That could be something that we look at moving forward. And I did love the G-men there. I got them +7.5 down to 7. Road division dog, all system match there. Couldn't come through. They couldn't keep up with the firepower there. San Fran and Arizona. That was a lean to me for San Fran. It didn't play it. Rookie quarterback. We saw them go with Trey Lance, 1-10 ATS early. I think they were 4-1 ATS last week. That was kind of a late move there to Arizona a bit. you know, it was, I think it was like -4.5, got up to 5.5, maybe even got to 6. I think it did close at 6 at some shops. So divisional spot, I leaned to San Fran on that one. But that was a tip your cap to the Cardinals. Now it's still the only undefeated team. And there is something I'm looking at next this upcoming week with Arizona that we might want to jump on early. Stay tuned for that as we look early for our NFL Week 6 look ahead. And then last game of the night, the Buffalo Bills, baby. Huge, 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 huge. I went with the fiance and some of her friends to Fright Night in Westford, Massachusetts, where there are these trails in the woods and these haunted hay rides, and it was super fun. But we got a beer at the lodge late, and we came in there and we saw the Red Sox walk off with a win, and we also saw Buffalo roll there 38-20. So that was a nice way to end the day. But Buffalo, guys, chalk it up to these primetime dogs. I think they're now what, 8-6, 9-6 ATS so far. But that was kind of liability always with Buffalo. They opened +3. They got down to 2.5. They came back to 3. But that thing never got to 3.5. And the threes were always juiced up toward Buffalo, +3, -120. So that was a play on kind of getting a good team in a value spot, getting points. Now, Josh Allen, as we talked about, I think he's what, 15? I think he's 15 in ATS now as a dog in his career. And this Buffalo team keeps on rolling, guys. So great late night hit there. And that was a crazy total as well. Lands 58. You had some under money. I think at one point it was 57.5 down to 57. There was a lot of obviously bad weather there causing that delay, but you did get a dog hit there with Buffalo, so we'll take it. But with that being said, guys, let's you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a very, very short break. So we ran the board. We went through everything from yesterday, things I gotta look forward to or moving forward. Again, it gave me a little bit of trouble was New Orleans movement and the Chargers movement with the public. But also maybe some respected money. So that's something that I can work on and maybe handicap a little bit better. But don't go anywhere, guys, because we got to, after a recap of yesterday and getting in back into the flow of things, let's talk Monday Night Football for tonight. Let's talk baseball for today. And we'll also look ahead a little bit NFL Week 6. I got NHL on the brain, guys. I'll be honest with you. I cannot wait to start betting NHL. The season starts here in a couple days. So let's get after it, guys. But do not go anywhere. Going to take a very, very short break, and when we get back, we are going to talk Monday Night Football, the Colts and the Ravens. I got to play on the spread. I got to lean on the total. I got a prop bet, and we got baseball for today, guys. Baseball, Ray. If you build it, they will come. Can my Sox on Marathon Monday finish off the Rays? I'm on the Rays series price, but I've been betting the Sox last couple games. Finally, I'm able to bet on them instead of bet against them, which was brutal for me to start. But I think we got some good games tonight to sweat, guys. So do not go anywhere. Going to finish up strong Monday Night Football, Major League Baseball playoffs, and a little NFL Week 6 look ahead when we return on episode 426 of the VSiN Market Insights Podcast. All right, everyone, we are back at it after taking a short break here, recapping what we saw over the weekend. And again, if I could give you just my favorite games, man, Oklahoma coming back, getting it done. And then, of course, how about the Buffalo Bills getting it done late night? And of course, another one we loved with that Eagles play as well. But let's turn our attention to Monday Night Football for tonight, guys. We have a classic hazmat play tonight. And I think I'm also going to walk the tightrope and see if we can find a hook on this game. So setting the stage, guys, of course, we got Carson Wentz and Lamar Jackson, Colts and Ravens, non-division matchup here in the AFC. But looking at the Colts, 1-3 straight up, 2-2 against the spread. They finally got a win last week, snapped their losing skid, beating the Dolphins 27-17. They won outright as a 2.5-point road dog. Look at the Ravens, 3-1, 2-2 ATS. They lost week one to the Raiders. They've now won 3 straight. And they beat down the Broncos 23-7 last week, won outright as a 1-point road dog. We're looking at the Colts -14 in point differential. Ravens are +14. So think of it this way. Baltimore, 1-3 straight at home. They're never going to be more, I would say, overvalued or popular than they are right now. And I think with the Colts, you still look at that 1-3 record, but they've been making some strides here. Coming off their first win, look at some of their offensive efficiency and just the way they're playing recently. I think Carson Wentz picking up a little bit of steam here. So we've seen, guys, across the board, we got Baltimore opening as a 7-point favorite at home. I did see some books, maybe we're 6.5 up to 7. But what I noticed from BetMGM, 84% of bets are on Baltimore tonight, guys. So again, if you're going to go contrarian like me, you want to put on that hazmat suit, you want to do it in the most heavily bet games, most nationally televised primetime spots. I know we got a big baseball day, but this is really going to take the cake. As we all know, Monday Night Football is the highest ticket count game of the week. It's a standalone spot. You also have, I don't think Public kind of have a good weekend, so it's not like a chase spot, but maybe it's a double down after a good weekend here. So I think this creates a good value opportunity to buy low on the Colts. Again, you had me at hello. You had me at 84% of bets on Baltimore here. So again, if Baltimore, you know, wins and rolls, books are going to take a bath. So I want to be on the side, obviously, of the house, rooting for the Colts here in this one. But here's the thing. A lot of these books, -7, I don't think you want to bet the Colts right now at -7. I'm going to wait out for the hook. I see some -7s that are -115 for Baltimore. So it tells me this thing may get to 7.5. So therefore, why grab the 7 now when if you wait it out throughout the day and you kind of, you're a lion tracking a gazelle in the Namib Desert where I studied abroad, you know, why not wait out for the hook? See if it pops up here. So you're already in a super contrarian spot regardless. There's no juice like it may get to 6.5. So I'm going to wait out, see if I can get the Colts at +7.5. Number one, insanely contrarian, only 16% of bets in a heavily bet spot. You also look at dogs in general. We're talking about 56% ATS, but it's these road dogs that have been better. That's the big distinction. Road dogs, 29-19 against the spread so far this season. So they've had a good year. They're at 60%. So if you look at, obviously, the discrepancy between home and road, those road dogs, 29-19 ATS, home dogs, 14-15 against the spread. So it's been these road dogs that have really been the spot backing dogs, aside from our short road dog, 6 or less, and all those matches. Solid match with the Colts. Also, primetime dogs. 8-6 ATS. I said 9-6 earlier, but I think it's 8-6 ATS so far this season. And we have seen a decent little run here. You had the Buffalo Bills last night. Seahawks and Raiders couldn't get it done, but throughout the year so far this season, kind of a Patriots type play at home. Remember the Jaguars in that Thursday night game? The Green Bay Packers getting points. We've seen some of these, and a similar number would be kind of the Patriots. That was a late move down to 6.5. But we have seen these primetime dogs do well this year, 8-6 ATS and 36-25 against the spread over the last couple of years, 59% overall. Another game that, or another system match that kind of jumps out to me is buying low on a team that's playing another game on the road. So if you look at kind of on a road trip and people thinking, hey, you're a road warrior, but also maybe it's tough for you and you're in another hostile environment, buying low on teams on their second game on the road here, especially when the when they've covered their last game, 14-4 against the spread, 78% so far this year. So that would match on the Colts as well. Also kind of a bigger dog, low total. You know, this game opened 48 as a total. It's down to 46.5. I think low totals are probably, I don't know if I'd call 46.5 a low total. It's probably more like less than 45, but it is falling a bit. So it does look like there is some under money coming in. You know, one thing we've noticed, even though that over hit last night in primetime, primetime overs are 9-5, but the last five have gone 4-1 to the under. And we are seeing a couple system matches here. Unders on the year, even though it was over day yesterday, 43-36, 54%, as we talked about. Totals where the total stays the same or falls to the under, 55% this year. And unders that fall at least a point, 5-2 to the under, 71% here. So it's a lean under for me. If you can still find the 46.5 with the hook. But here's something I want to mention with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, when he's a favorite of 7 points or more, he's 19-3 straight up. Hat tip to John Ewing for this number. But he's 12-10 ATS. So a lot of people who have Ravens and Survivor, which that's me. I got Ravens as my Survivor play. Also a teaser spot. I know -7 down to -1 is probably a pretty popular one here. If it gets to 7.5 going down to 1.5, that would get through the 7 and the 3. 7 down to 1, I get it. I know it's popular. You're only going through the 3, though. But I know that's going to be something that the sports books are probably rooting against because it's a popular one this week. But here's the thing, Lamar Jackson, we said 19-3 straight up as a favorite of 7 or more, but 12-10 ATS. Here's the thing, as a home favorite, Lamar Jackson in his career, 8-12 against the spread. So actually below 500 as a home favorite here. So add it all up, again, only what, 16% of bets on the Colts here. Been playing a little bit better as of late. I am on the Colts +7, but here's the thing, I'm going to wait it out. Can we get an inflated +7.5 in a primetime game? Give me the Colts +7.5. We can get it. If not, I'll take the 7. And then I told you I had a prop bet here. I am going Carson Wentz over 225.5 passing yards. This is available at DraftKings. I was looking at some matchups here, but Baltimore is giving up 273 yards per game in the air. That's 24th in the NFL. They're really at the bottom, kind of the bottom percentile here, which means you're not a great pass defense. And also Marlon Humphrey, one of their best shutdown corners, I think he's questionable. I don't know if he's going to play or not. But I like Carson Wentz to go over 225.5. They're probably going to be down a little bit. Hopefully never down more than 7 points. But at some point, I think he's going to have to throw to keep pace, maybe a backdoor cover, whatever it takes to cover that number there. But also, he's been playing a little bit better. Won his last game, and he's gone over this 225.5 number in 3 out of 4 games this year. He's thrown for 228, 194, 247, and 251. So getting more acclimated to a new team, a new roster, a new set of coaches, a little more reps with the crew, and he's gone over this number 3 of 4. I'm going to go Carson Wentz over 225.5 passing yards, and I'm gonna take the Colts here as a contrarian hazmat play on a Monday Night Football showdown. Flip over to MLB. I am annoyed that that White Sox game got canceled. Here's the thing. I wanted to share this with you guys. One thing we've noticed in the MLB playoffs is two really distinct edges. One is playoff favorites. So this is, you know, throughout the year. I know we love our dogs. We've cashed a lot of dogs here. But when it gets to the postseason, chalk kind of increases a little bit here. And it ticks up a few percentage points if you look at favorites in the postseason versus the regular season. But we've seen it so far. Playoff favorites, 8-4, 67%. Here's the other thing. Home teams, 9-3, 75%. So you get the home crowd behind you. You get your last at bat. Favorites and home teams, 67%, 75%. Something to keep an eye out moving forward for tonight. So we got that Houston White Sox game canceled because of rain. Milwaukee, Atlanta is actually tipping off right now. So a couple that I'm looking at for tonight, Tampa Bay and my Boston Red Sox. This is my Red Sox chance to wipe out the Tampa Bay Rays here. This is McHugh against Erod. But my first play here, guys, is the under. I'm going to take a shot on the under. It opened at 9.5. And the public is taking the over, saying, hey, Erod got lit up last time. You know, McHugh is kind of a journeyman guy who, what's his ERA here? 1.92, actually, been pretty good. But I think they're just expecting a lot of runs. We've seen the over go 2-1 this series and cash the last two. So maybe it's just, hey, keep riding the over. But I like the under here. Open 9.5, public's on the over. Yet that 9.5 is really juiced up under, -115, -120. So a lot of under money appears to be coming in. And also, it's a nice day in Boston, but it's like 60 degrees and winds blowing in about 5 to 7 miles an hour. And also Ron Culpa, who is a really good under ump, one of the best under umps in baseball. He's 58% to the under historically, 270 and 199. So you got an under ump, you got wind blowing in, you got public on the over, you got liability under. Give me the under 9.5 for the Red Sox here, guys. Let's get a low scoring game. And I'll be honest, I'm leaning Red Sox here, guys. A lot of these books were pick 'em, -105, kind of both sides. Some shops did inch up to Red Sox around -110. Let's see how this movement goes late. Does it creep up? Does it hop the fence? I think we're right almost in that pick 'em type scenario with a lean to the Red Sox. This is the match with the Red Sox. We did talk about those favorites doing great, 8-4. Home teams, 9-3. You also look at, let me see what else I got. It would be a contrarian play. Majority of bets here on Tampa Bay. But I'd be looking at, this is actually down the middle. I wanted to say here, Red Sox, yeah, 51% of bets, but 60% of money. That's according to BetMGM. So I lean Red Sox and may add them. And when the drinks are flowing with my buddy, when we have his after party for running the marathon, maybe the Sox will be an add-on. It's either Sox or nothing on the money line, but I like that under 9.5. I took the under 9.5 here. Can we get a low scoring game? I hope so. And then late night, going Dodgers. This is a classic Dodgers play for us, guys. It reminds me a little bit of that one game playoff, against the Cardinals, where it's a big number and public's like, San Fran getting huge, you know, +180. I should take that. But what I like is at BetMGM, the Dodgers only getting 45% of tickets, but 85% of the money. That's a really good low bets, higher dollar bet split. And also, it did tick up a little bit. You know, a lot of these books were, you know, -190, -200, kind of stayed -200. But again, those home teams, looking at, 9-3, favorites 8-4, a really good low bets, higher dollar discrepancy play. Also, when you get to these, the postseason, technically, if you're at a book and you try to find I see a -195, -197, maybe before it hops the fence to -200. But when you get to that -200 threshold or more, you're looking at these playoff favorites, I think like 74%, like 28-10, maybe something like that. Also like correlative betting, you know, favorite low total. When you're a favorite of around 200 or more, big fave, and the total is 7.5 or less, that's a good signal there that a fewer amount of expected runs scored, more likely, not a guarantee, but more likely it's coming from quote unquote the better team. So it would benefit the Dodgers there. Scherzer against Wood. Also look at Ted Barrett home plate on piece, 57% to the home team. So I'm going to lay it with the Dodgers. I'm going to take the Red Sox under 9.5. I may add the Red Sox later. I am on the Colts getting 7, or maybe we can get a 7.5. I'm on the Carson Wentz over 225.5. And then lastly, to finish up the pod, we got to look at a little bit to NFL Week 6, because there are a couple games that are notable to me, just in terms of automatic movement, and then also a couple games that maybe we could think about betting sooner rather than later. So first one, Tampa Bay at the Philadelphia Eagles. This is a Thursday night game. This opened Tampa Bay -6.5, immediately up to -7. So will there be an opportunity to buy low on Philly here at home, contrarian, if everyone's loading up here on Tampa Bay? I think so. I think the early number was sharps with a -6.5. Tampa Bay just got to win by 7, hit that one. But let's see how this thing, how much higher this goes, and will there be any buyback? I could see it maybe coming back to 6.5, but I'd be looking at now the key number, Philly +7 in a primetime game. Couple more that caught my eye. Miami on the road at Jacksonville. Jacksonville's god awful, guys. This might be getting worse and worse with this Urban Meyer stuff. But you had an early -3 or 2.5 opener, Miami, immediately up to -3.5. So we'll see how that thing goes. But that's another London game, and that total did tick up 44.5 up to 45.5. So maybe take the over there with that bad Jags defense in London. Keep on cruising. A couple more. We did see some movement toward, I think I'm going to jump on this now, the Chargers. Chargers are on the road at Baltimore. Baltimore playing tonight. It's going to be a short week for them, so rest advantage for the Chargers. And I saw a lot of these books open -3.5, or even I think I saw one book might have touched 4. Maybe that was an outlier there. But 3.5, all these 3.5s look like they're going down to 3. Baltimore -3.5 down to 3. So if you're looking at the Chargers like I am here, short road dog, rest advantage, short week advantage, and Baltimore with the quick turnaround, I'd be looking at Herbert plus the hook here, +3.5. And I may consider grabbing that early because it looks like it may get down to 3 there. So keep an eye on that one. Did see a lot of movement with my Patriots here. Finally got a win. Now 2-3 back in it. But a lot of these books were I saw like a -2 opener for Dallas on the road, or even maybe like a 3, 3.5. It's all up to 4 or 4.5. So a lot of movement there toward Dallas. And we'll see if we can maybe pick off New England as a crazy contrarian play. Can we get to 5? Can we wait that thing out? That looks similar to that Bucs game against the Patriots, with just heavy betting toward the Bucs and maybe creating a buy low inflated contrarian spot at home, 425 game. And then Seattle and Pittsburgh. Keep an eye on this one. Pittsburgh off their win. This is all about Geno Smith. This is say a prayer, RIP, for my probably my Seahawks over 9 win total with Wilson out here. I think, 4 to 8 weeks. He's going to be out for a while here. But with Geno Smith in, most likely for Seattle, this open, I think a lot of shops were, at one point, I think the look ahead was like Seahawks -2.5 on the road, but it quickly got adjusted to -3 Steelers, and now it's up to -4.5, and it may go to 5. A lot of money coming in there with Pittsburgh betting against Geno Smith. And then great game, Buffalo, another Monday night game here. They get those primetime spots. Buffalo open -3. They're up to -5 on the road at Tennessee. So we'll monitor these numbers moving forward, see how they move. And of course, that's our routine throughout the week. I don't think you can just wake up on NFL Sunday and, say it's game start at 1, maybe got after it the night before. Let me put in all my bets at 12:30. No, you got to monitor this stuff all throughout the week. So let's see, particularly with the Chargers, I'm jumping on that hook right now, 3.5. I think that thing gets down to 3. But those are the little things to look for as we monitor these numbers moving forward. And also, I'm going to add Jacksonville the more I look at it. I'm going to kind of, not blindly, but take that London over system, because it's now 62%, and it did tick up immediately, opening at a lot of shops, 44.5 now to 45.5. So need 46 or more on that one. But there you have it, guys. Another day, another dollar. Let's see if we can dust off and get a better week than last week, because, again, I think it was the worst week of the year, at least for me with betting. Just felt like nothing was going our way, and every public play was cashing. But that'll happen. It's betting. You go through cycles like that. You just got to keep grinding, stick with it, and we'll overcome it long term, because we are playing a long game. It's easy to get down when you're struggling in a small, finite amount of time. It's easy to get really cocky and just get loosey goosey with the model when you're feeling good. But again, when you're losing, you're never as bad as you think. When you're winning, you're never as good as you think. You're always somewhere in between. But guys, flat betting is the key. I talk about it all the time, and sometimes it's hard for people to understand, like the bet trist, not bet to win. But the flat betting, again, if I'm going to lose a bet, I'm always going to lose one unit. It saves me when I'm struggling, like a bad week last week. It also give us a good ROI when we bet on some dogs there with plus money as well. So big weekend, everybody. Let's turn it around. Let's have a good week here going into our second week in October. As the Halloween buzz is in the air, pretty soon we got to watch Hocus Pocus me and the fiance. That's one of our traditions here. Although she doesn't like scary movies, so I can't watch any of the Halloweens with her. Maybe she's like, "Can we do it when the lights are on?" I'm like, "No, we need the lights off. We gotta get the mood going. We gotta make it scary." Maybe Elise, if you're listening, we can. Maybe, I don't know. I don't want the lights on, but we gotta watch these Halloween movies. But anyway, guys, tangent. Let's get back at it. Let's have a big week starting it off right here, guys. A reminder, if the Market Insights pod has helped you at all, I know it was a rough week last week, but the systems, the strategies, the things we talk about, if it's helped you improve your betting or picked up a couple things, or maybe you stopped betting parlays, or maybe you got a better bankroll management plan, or you're taking your emotion out of it, you're seeing some improvements here in your betting game. If you want to make my day, let me know you appreciate the hard work I put in every day. Buy my book. It's called The Everything Guide to Sports Betting. Available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And we got hockey coming up. We got NBA coming up. College basketball coming up. Again, there are not going to be too many kind of light nights like this, like maybe one football game and a couple baseball. I cannot wait until we got NHL betting every night, because we had a good year last year in NHL. Sneaky, one of my favorite sports to bet on. So can't wait to get that back. But guys, hope you had a great weekend. Keep grinding. As always, reminder, whether I see you at the Borgata in Atlantic City, Twin River in Rhode Island, the Brook in New Hampshire, Foxwoods, where you're now legal in Connecticut, at the good old South Point, where the True Grinders get down, where Billy Walters sends his number runners, or good old Circa. And I say good old, even though it's brand new. But with the stadium swim, with the unbelievable victory burger, wherever it may be, you're going to walk up to me. How about you show me in Oklahoma? Laying it, coming through. Arkansas, Cuse, UVA, Washington State. How about a little bit of Utah there? How about the Philly Eagles getting it done? How about the Buffalo Bills plus three? How about Nicolau? 3-2, 3-2 with a little bit of biting. Not bad. The Brown over. And Jackson as well, guys. We're going to keep at it. And let's get some winners here with baseball. I'm excited to sweat these games tonight. And reminder, everyone running the Boston Marathon, or I know if you're not in Boston or New England, it probably doesn't mean much to you, but it's a huge day here. And the whole city just gets into it. It's really, really cool. And it's taken on a new meaning here since the marathon bombings in 2013. So you'll get all that Boston pride stuff. So I'm a little sensitive. I'm sentimental. I like it. It makes me proud of my area and my state and my city here. So good luck, everyone. Enjoy Monday Night Football tonight. Enjoy your postseason baseball. I'll be back at it tomorrow. And of course, BAA, Betting Across America, every day 3 to 4. See you then. Good luck. And reminder, stay sharp, stay contrarian, bet against the public, place yourself on the side of the house. Always be with the smart money, never against it. Will smart money win every time? Nope. No such thing as locker guarantee. And sometimes you go through a week where nothing goes your way, but you keep grinding. It doesn't change the approach. We know that we got the right model long term. So we're just going to stick with it as we always do. But good luck, everyone. I will see you at the window. And of course, cash your tickets and tip your ticket writer. Have a great Monday, guys. Good luck.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. Work is changing, we are changing, and there's no guidebook for how to make sense of it. Start your week with the Hello Monday podcast. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered. Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.